right now.
This is
2FM's Game On.
Hello there, good evening. Big thanks to Demi and Mikey for driving us through the afternoon. It is Wednesday, November 5th. I'm Shane Dawson and you are listening to Game On. Coming up between now and the new music show at 7, Alan Colley chats Champions League and reviews Ireland's under-17 World Cup win against Panama. Damien Lawler has the latest Gaelic Games news and brings us a fascinating interview with Antrim hurler Donal Nugent, who overcame addiction, homelessness and an ACL injury to feature in Navan's county title win for the first time in 52 years. We also have the chance for one lucky listener to win €400 with thanks to PwC, while Ellen Keane is with us to provide a feature interview with Irish rugby star Anna McGann and her incredible journey. A busy hour ahead. You can get in touch anytime by texting 51552 or messages on WhatsApp 087 187 9200.
This is
2FM's
Game On.
Good evening, happy Wednesday one and all. It's great to have your company here on 2FM. Ellen Keane and Alan Colley are with us. Before we speak to them, it is competition time and €400 to win. The PwC All-Star Awards take place at the RDS this Friday and there's no denying that the talent bar just keeps getting higher and higher each year. And to find out if they got it right, make sure you watch the PW All-Star Awards live on RT1 television at 7:30 this Friday. All the country's top GAA football and hurling talent will be there as we honour their excellence, commitment and passion for their sport. And if you can show your excellence on GAA knowledge today, you could be in with a chance to win yourself €400 in cash, all thanks to PwC. So, if you fancy winning it, simply answer this question. Can you tell us who the winner was of the 2024 PwC GAA GPA Young Footballer of the Year? Was it A, Armaz Oisin Conaty, or B, Galway's Johnny McGrath? Text us now on 51552 with your answer and name. As always, competition terms and conditions apply. See 2fm.ie for all the details.
This is
2FM's
Game On.
So €400 to be won. Ellen Keane, Alan Colley, how are we both? Ellen, how's the form?
I'm a little bit tired.
Had a bit of
promoing of Ireland's Fittest Family, so I've been busy.
Get the plug in there. That's not tired at all. Just get the plug in there.
Exactly, absolutely.
All right, go on. When's it on? When's it coming out? Go on, let's see.
The next episode's on Sunday.
And Sunday, very good. Okay.
Heat 2. The rugby boys up against each other. So
very good.
I'm Heat 3 against Davy Fitz.
Yeah,
6:30 on RT1.
Okay. You had a brilliant interview with Davy last week, to be fair. So you're going up against Davy on Ireland's Fittest Family. Your wit is to provide an interview with Anna McGann. Fascinating story.
Yeah,
cool. Started off as a hockey player, went to UCD, started with rugby to become a better hockey player, and then ended up getting a contract from the RFU.
And is also a TikTok star and her own business. So unbelievable stuff.
What a woman. What a jewellery business. A TikTok star as well on my own. Fair play. Are you on TikTok, Alan Colley?
No, Shane, come on.
Okay. The kids might be on TikTok.
They are, actually. I hear a lot about this TikTok stuff, but it's not for me.
Well, I say many of the squad of the Ireland under 17s.
Well, the one thing
TikTok
I do know about TikTok, young ones listening, and I do enjoy this with the young kids who we coach. 6'7", do you know that?
I can't believe you just said that.
I just said it.
Every parent now is like, oh, why did he say that?
Well, it's the one thing that kind of brings me closer to those kids that they can relate to.
The juggling, I'm aware I'm doing actions on radio, but it's the juggling motion.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Which means, are we allowed to say what it means on radio?
I don't know what it means.
It means nothing. It just means 6'7". It's a thing. It's like I think it's in a song maybe or a TikTok.
TikTok summed up? It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. It's just like in the song, I think he goes 6'7", or a kid goes 6'7", and
it just became
the kid
thing.
Does a reaction and it went viral.
There you go.
So I thought it was like 6'1", half a dozen the other kind of. No.
So I do have a bit of fun anyway with the boys when we're kind of they score a goal and it's kind of the celebration, different things or whatever. So that's the closest I've ever come to TikTok. So that's why I don't go anywhere near it.
Right. Well, you ruined my perfect segue to talk about the Ireland under 17 squad for how and ever. The Republic of Ireland made a dream start to their maiden appearance at the FIFA under 17 World Cup as goal goals from Jade Newman, Keane McMahon Brown, Michael Noonan and Max Kovalevskis sealed a 4-1 win over Panama on pitch 3 at the Aspire Zone in Qatar. It's amazing. The whole World Cup is being basically played
in a
training facility. Well, sorry, that's not saying, oh, it's in a training facility. It's in a state-of-the-art training facility.
Incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I couldn't believe it today. And look, I know obviously in terms of the news around Qatar hosting the World Cup and all that kind of stuff, but in terms of the facilities themselves, top class.
And it's all within, I suppose,
they were pitch three.
A couple of mile radius, and matches ongoing. How impressive were the Irish side? So 4-1 win over Panama.
Yeah, it sounds probably, the scoreline sounds like as if it was a 10 out of 10 performance, but it wasn't really, to be honest with you, Shane. In terms of, when you put it into context, in terms of an opening day, World Cup, first match for a lot of lads who were only 17 years of age, playing at that level, it was a very good performance. But when you actually factor in the opposition, who were poor enough, it was more a good job, well done, rather than kind of a stellar performance, if you like. But they performed very well. It was 2-0 after about 20 minutes. Uma, who there's a lot of talk about, Jaden Uma, playing for Benfica at the moment, came from True Cork City, and by all accounts doing very well at Benfica, progressing very nicely. But he's a real talent, Shane, for anyone that hasn't seen him before or was watching the match today. He got a brilliant header. Then the second goal was scored by Keane McMahon-Brown, who's doing really well at Burnley. So they were comfortable at half time. Then they scored two goals in quick succession in the second half. Michael Noonan, who was man of the match on the day, played really, really well. Everybody is obviously fully aware of Michael's ability, but at that level, World Cup under 17, he was very, very good now, played really well.
Well, let's hear from the man of the match now, Michael Noonan.
It was a good game, start to finish. Obviously, we knew there's going to be parts of it that are going to be difficult. Got to do with the weather, the opposition. But thought we handled it well, we prepared well before, and game plan, we stuck by it and got us to the end. I had full belief, I think the team had full belief, the staff had full belief in everyone. Everyone on the pitch, everyone on the bench coming on, we knew we had the quality, and yeah, we just had a game plan to show it, and yeah, we did that. But I knew myself, the chances were coming, and it was only a matter of time, and I thought all the other lads took their goals very well as well, and we were solid at the back, so it was a great team performance. We know it's only the first game of the tournament, but it's important we got the 3 points, because we know another game puts us through, and obviously we haven't done work in Uzbekistan yet, because we've been taking it day by day, but tomorrow it's a recovery day. The next day we'll put full focus on Uzbekistan. We know they're a good side. We don't really know what they're about, because we haven't played anyone like them before, but we'll be fully prepared for the game, and yeah, we'll be ready to go.
So speaking of Michael Noonan, and credit to Raf Diallo in his preview piece as well, the magic number being 13,392 career minutes collectively amassed by these youngsters, which compares more favourably to the 10 other European nations in Qatar this month. Michael Noonan, of course, playing senior football, excelling with Shamrock Rovers, and it must stand to not only Michael Noonan, but so many players on that Ireland team.
It's a huge advantage, yeah, and out of the starting 11 today, there was 5 of them homegrown, if you like, or playing. So the goalkeeper, Alex Noonan, Shamrock Rovers, Vinnie Lennon, who was a mainstay in Division
Dundalk.
1 with Dundalk winning the league. Ryan Butler made 20 appearances for Wexford, right full, played very well today as well, very solid defensively. And then in the attacking areas, Kovalevskis, who made his debut, his first start for Shamrock Rovers against Galway last week in the game that won them the league, and of course Noonan as well, Shane. So 5 out of the 11 starting is obviously a good representation. Then you had the 3 Finn Harps lads on the bench as well. They came on. So yeah, it's really good, and I suppose that's kind of the novel part of them being at the tournament, is that it's probably the first group with all the talk around academy structures and National League. It's probably the first international team playing at a senior major tournament where the majority have come through our system, if you like. Years gone by, or when I was an underage international, all the lads at this stage of their careers would have been signed up by English clubs. And that's not the case now, because they obviously have to stay here, for anyone that doesn't know. So again, as I said, it's a really good representation for the domestic league, the National League, the work that's been done with the underage kind of setups around the country. And I also think for coaches who would have had those lads from grassroots up, it's not just the case of they became good players when they went to National League. They were obviously very good players playing at their community clubs or grassroots clubs or whatever the case may be when they were kids. So a lot of those coaches must take credit too. And I'm sure it was a very satisfactory feeling for a lot of those coaches tuning in to see them playing on that stage today.
Well, let's hear from the Ireland head coach, Colin O'Brien, speaking after the win.
Look, it's the opening game. Obviously, we feel delighted with the result. You know, to score 4 goals, 4 different scores. Yeah, it's a great start and 3 points.
Next game will be Uzbekistan. I suppose the message, what would the message be to the players after a game like this?
Yeah, well, look, they're after, you know, for months and months, and especially since we met up, there's been a huge, you know, build-up for them. And you have to factor that in for young players as well. Thought it was a little bit tense at times, you know, a bit nervy. That's expected in the opening game. But we came up with big goals, big players in big moments, and that's what you need in the tournament. So he's delighted with that. The message will be no, enjoy the victory. But look, you know, they've got a really good mindset. They know now they have to just go into preparation mode, recovery mode. We've 2 days to recover, and then on Saturday evening we play Uzbekistan, who I just found out beat Paraguay. So yeah, that'll be another step up in we'll say levels.
The humidity and the conditions here, are you delighted that the players are able to get over that challenge and put in a performance like they did?
Yeah, absolutely, because look, all the supports are around them for them, but you know, it is a different, you know, heat, it is a different condition to what we'd be used to in Europe. But they coped with it well. They've got a good sense of now what it's like. And look, they got to understand now, you know, the kind of tactical sides of it when you're playing in these conditions. So lots there that we were happy with. But there's plenty of things, of course, we have to try and tidy up and improve on for game two.
Ireland head coach Colin O'Brien speaking there. Now, difficult conditions, Alan, up to 32 degrees Celsius today for the boys the young boys in green. Just on the fact that Ireland face Uzbekistan on Saturday afternoon live on RT2 and the RT player who beat Paraguay. Now, the top two in each of the 12 groups will advance to the knockout stages. There's also room for 8 best third place finishers. So even getting one win from the 3 games it does increase your chances of progressing to the knockout stages. Not that they won't be going for victories over Uzbekistan and Paraguay, but it's a perfect start when you're looking at trying to qualify for the knockouts.
Yeah, a perfect opposition as well, because Panama were weak, let's be honest, Shane. So in terms of the competition and the wider context, as you say, what gets you through, you would expect now after a victory, it would see them through to the knockout stages. But as you said, if 2 games upcoming, Uzbekistan on Saturday, who had a good victory themselves today to beat Paraguay, and Paraguay next Tuesday. So they'll be difficult games. I think there'll be a lot tougher tests ahead for this group. But in terms of a starting point, and your first day, Colin O'Brien mentioned in an interview there where there was nerves and a bit of apprehension, which you would expect. They're only 17 years of age, and there was a big build up, and with this group as well, Shane, there is a bit of expectation on them, so a little bit of pressure maybe, if you like. So to get the first win, the first victory, bed themselves into the tournament off the back of that today, I think it was a great starting point.
Okay, great. So Fal, more from Alan Colley on the Champions League a little bit later. We're going to hear from Anna McGann speaking to Ellen Keane, but up next, Damien Lawler has all the latest GAA news.
Game on.
Hurling.
Now, Damien Lawler joins us with the latest Gaelic Games news. And Damien, let us begin our conversation on hurling and some amazing stories across the club championship, but few more notable than Donal Nugent, who has recovered from drug and alcohol addiction and an ACL injury to play hurling again. He was the goalkeeper for Navan when they won the Antrim Championship for the first time in 52 years a fortnight ago. A truly incredible story, Damien.
Incredible story. And in 2019, Shane, Donal spent 3 months at the Cún Véire Centre in Newry. And, you know, it was a tough time in his life, but at the end of every day, he had a journal and he wrote down the words, "Be excited about who you want to become." And that was a very simple message, but a very strong one. And Donal gave 3 months there. He walked into that place. He was a nervous wreck. You know, he was fairly dishevelled. He didn't know what was going on. And he had a bit of hope that his life could mean something. He had years of addiction to alcohol and cocaine, but then he was back on the recovery. And I suppose, as he said himself, there were two options facing him back then. Go ahead on the road he was on, one that would most likely see the end of him, or go get help. And he went to get help. And I think basically, you know, leaving behind these dark days, he recovered to an extent where he would play with Antrim. You know, in the Joe McDonagh Cup, won a kind of a title there in 2020. But in recent times again, he did his ACL. So it was looking unlikely he'd be play any part for the club this year, but reinvented himself as a goalkeeper. And as you say, then they won the county title in Antrim just 2 weeks ago. You know, a heroic, historic day for the club, for Navan. You know, a club that he kind of had probably owed an awful lot to over the years during his own story. And now to stand just one game away from an Ulster final, they play Setanta of Donegal on Saturday week. But just to go back to the county final win that they had in Antrim, Shane, I asked Donal, was it as good as, you know, things had got to win that game with his own family and with his own club and with his own friends? And here's what he had to say.
Then I think that, like, we spoke before about that, and that's something that I always even use with teams that I work with now, about, like, be excited about who you want to become. Like, when you're lying in bed at night or whatever and trying to get to sleep, it was in my head for a long time. And I genuinely didn't think it would happen. Even like as close as 6 months ago, I wasn't even playing with the club. Like I was coming back from a cruciate injury and probably extremely overweight again at that stage. And I was just focusing on coaching, and it was hard for me just to, didn't really have the motivation to do another rehab again, you know. And it was just, but it was that I kept hanging on to about being excited. And I was just like, do you know what? I'm 28, I'm not 38. It's possible. Like, you know, it's possible that if I really want to do this, I can do it. And I just put a lot of energy into trying to get back and done that. And look, it's not just me. Like everyone on the team has been through a lot. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's had adversity. Like, and even if you're solely just talking about hurling, like the amount of semi-finals that we get beat over the last 10 years has been mental. And then you're seeing the likes of the Lowy going to Croke Park, Cushendall going to Croke Park. Like we've took them teams to draws and replays and different things like that. So it's not like we've just came out of nowhere either. So no, I am. I'm so happy and buzzing. But, you know, it was over a week ago now. It was ready for Ulster, and we're their heads are down. We're back training, and that's going well as well. So now it's nice. Like, it's nicer going to training than whenever you're
traveling. Well, it is nice because you need a reason to get out this time of year with the weather and stuff like that, Donald. But just a couple of things. A, you were still wise enough in your own skin to get out of town while the Monday club, Tuesday club, Wednesday club, Thursday club, Friday club, Saturday club was going on. So you were sharp enough to acknowledge that. And then secondly, you're reinvention to being a goalkeeper again. Now, once you're a hurler, you're a hurler, and you've got unbelievable hands. But at the same time, two factors there that had to be brought into the whole mix as well.
Aye, well, probably the first one is something that, like, no matter what, winning the championship's probably at the top of most people's list, but recovery's still at the top of my list. Yeah, whether it's, you know, whether it's one day or six and a half years down the lane, like, and it's still something that I just need to actively keep on top of. So that doesn't change. So probably number two then is the hurling. And it's funny because it was put to me. So I met, it was actually a guy from Cushendall. I'm not going to say his name, but I met him for coffee 6 months ago. And he says to me, I think that you'd be a really good goalkeeper. And, you know, it was in the middle of the down season. And I'm in charge of the down Camogues. And I was just sort of laughing at him. And then obviously I went away, and being the way I am, I went into a rabbit hole and was like, do you know what? And then I started watching videos of Warren Murphy and different people like that, and going, right, okay.
I think you just extended your career by 10 years, going, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't know, Damien. I just feel like I'm starting, if that makes sense. I feel like I've just started again, and it's just like, I feel so refreshed, and I feel so, and you're right, it is different. It's totally different. And I used to be standing in the half hour lane and screaming goalkeepers about their puckouts and different things like that, and make it flatter, and I'd like, oh. Like, don't shout at me. But
now
to be
the
fair,
pressure's on you,
And to be fair, I said it after the county final, like Simon Docherty, who has been the St John's goalkeeper for the last 15 years, he was the Armagh goalkeeper. Simon's one of the best goalkeepers in Ulster, and he still is. And the fact that he was okay with me coming back, was sort of fought for the position. And then when we both realised that I was maybe going to be number one, then he just helped me so much. Like, it's all right having good hands and maybe a good puck of the ball, but see angled and different things like that. And it's just, there's so much to it, and it's so complex. And he helped me so much, and I genuinely wouldn't have been so comfortable. You said they're a bit comfortable in your skin. I wouldn't have been comfortable in my position without Simon Docherty. Like, so big kudos to him.
I don't think I've ever heard a bad word said about that chap. He's hugely regarded as a bloke by anybody that comes into contact with him, Donald. So it's not surprising to hear you saying how much he helped you with the technical side of the goalkeeping.
Yeah, big time. And he is a gentleman. Like, and even we went back training there. When was it? It was Tuesday night we were training, and we were just like, right, let's go at it again here. And he's put me through my paces, and you know, and he texted me on Wednesday morning, we haven't trained like that all year. Like, so it's just,
wow.
I don't know how, to be totally honest with him, if it was on the other side, I don't know how I would feel. And I said that to him, like, winning a championship, it probably would have been bittersweet, like, you know, if someone's coming in. And so, and we had them discussions, and I think that's important to have them discussions. And we have another sub goalkeeper there, Conor Flannery, who does nets for the reserve team. And like, the three of us are just, we're such a good bond now, and it did take a wee bit of time, but now that, you know, we're all together in this, and they're supporting me fully. And there's a bit of madness with me too, like, that they've had to adapt to. And we've all But goalkeepers are a bit mad, so I'm probably quite suited to it. Like, so.
Maybe you've found your tribe, Donald. after years of rampaging and masquerading as a forward.
Yeah, but it is. It's so funny, Damon, because like even before games now, like your preparation's so different. Like I remember even in county championships or maybe playing my Antrim in the past, I'm getting ready for games and I'm like right, getting psyched up and I'm like right at all because I was probably a primary ball winner and hanging off people and I was like right, all I need to do is get a big hit in and it was real. But now it's so different. It's just like having to have clarity and decision making and all these things where I'm so settled and I'm just like chilled out. So it's nice. It is a nice difference and I'm enjoying the whole process of that too and the psychology part of it. Like it's interesting.
Go back through the decades through the goalkeepers, even from Big Patterson down to Ken Hogan to I suppose Gerard Cunningham to Donal Logue to Brendan Cummins to Fitzhenry. The art has been refined so much. All those goalkeepers that I mentioned, they're all top of the tree. But now the actual job description is so much different now, Donal. You're a restarter, you're a playmaker, you're a kind of a quarterback. It's an unrecognisable task. And did it take you long mentally to get to grips with the actual change in the department?
Probably not. I think coaching's helped me a lot too. Like I would have done a lot of work even with the down goalkeeper this year in Camogie. And I know it is different, but it's a theme, like, you know, about movement and patterns and different things like that. So I was able to, and to be fair to Gerard Cunningham, our manager in the club, like I sat and drew out different patterns of play and different and different scenarios and different ways how we can get on balls and not just first phase play, but second and third phase play where we're not thinking about, right, who am I hitting it to, but who's getting it after that and then where we're going. But like the other side of it, if we don't win Premier's possession, what way I was set up and different things like that. And George let me sort of, you know, put my own stamp on it, which has been good. So no, I've really enjoyed going down the rabbit hole of it all and learning, yeah, and even reaching out to other goalkeepers and like around the country who have been very good to me. And you mentioned Niall Patterson there, it's class because he actually sent me a message after the county final too. He's from up that part of the world too, yeah, like in North Antrim, yeah. And it was very nice, yeah, just to receive a message like that too from someone like that. So no, it's good. That's good.
Yeah. Well, these are the icons who've gone beforehand. Just I suppose to wind down the conversation, Donal, it's great to achieve what you've achieved, but like let's be honest about it. There's a chance to do more here now as well, and I think momentum and initiative are huge words in the GAA, but especially momentum. And I guess you have to try your best to build on that now.
Well, that's it. Like we're not. Firstly, we're not getting carried away, like, but secondly, like, we've said it all year, we're like, it's the right place at the right time, you know, yeah. We've been trying so hard. We mentioned like it's been well documented now about resilience and stuff like that and us keeping them bouncing back. So we're in an Ulster semi-final, we'll play Setanta, like, but we're starting again essentially. You know people are probably tagging us as favorites and different things like that against Setanta, but like we have no right to be favorites at this stage of the game. Do you know what I mean? We have no right. We're in bonus territory now, but our heads were probably in the clouds for 10 or 12 days there, but our feet's back on the ground now, like, and we're ready to go. And you know, we've been waiting for this opportunity probably for so long. So a bit like getting the county final, we spoke about it, like we've been waiting for so long, we'll be waiting for 50 years to win a championship. Whenever we got there, we had to make the most of it, and now we're going to try and make the most of an Ulster campaign and just see where it takes us, like, but yeah, focus on the present.
Yeah, absolutely. But like Bert, they're obsessed with hurling up there as well, Donal. And just a final question for you before I let you go back to your day job. When you got the cruise ship, when you came back from all that, like, I suppose the final thing for you, just the resilience factor you've built up over the years, do you allow yourself time to be proud of yourself every so often?
Do you know what, it's that part of it, it's interesting, because like I'm at the start of last year, I was going to meeting the likes of Sir Louise Carr, Niagara,
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah,
Paula O'Hagan, people like that who have played for Down Camogues for years, and I was trying to get them out of retirement essentially and promising them that this will be really good. And they did come out of retirement and they played this year and they enjoyed it, and I was sitting there and I was looking at them and going, this is the best thing for me, explaining, yeah, to them and how good it is to come back and play, because, yeah, I need to come back and play. Okay. Because at the end of the day, you can manage teams and you can do this and you can provide, yeah, you can provide an environment for people to thrive and all this sort of thing. But
yeah,
whenever you're on the pitch and you get that buzz, like, it's unbelievable. So
yeah,
no, I'm so happy. Like, I'm proud of myself. Jesus, I don't know, like I just back to that old thing that I would always say to even the girls, working with the girls and even with the lads now too in the team, like if you've one foot in yesterday and one foot in tomorrow, you're pissing all over the day. And I'm just like, do you know what? I try to keep it in the present, to try not to look too far ahead or too far back, but it's nice that even last week sitting on holidays and reflecting, you have to be proud, like, you know, not just for with hurling and stuff, but in life. And it's good just to be in a good place where you can have good conversations. And I mentioned there to start a conversation about putting your head in the pillow and dream about winning championships. It's good that you can do that, because there's lots of people around the country, especially now, who can't do that because there's so much going on in the world and everyone has their struggles. So I'm just class, feel really, really good to be in a place of clarity. Like, it's nice.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and you deserve it all, and delighted for you, and we'll talk to you soon again. Congratulations so far, and good luck at the weekend, Donal.
Keep my hand, Damien. Cheers, thank you.
Yeah, an incredible, incredible conversation there with Donal Nugent, Damien. And like at 18, he was playing inter-county for Antrim football and hurling. Like, he's still only in his late 20s, so there's plenty of hurling still left in Donal.
Yeah, there is. Like, and I mean, you know, with the, I suppose, 1 point win against Lochiel Shamrocks, and he made a great, great save in the middle. And first time champion since 73. He's only in his late 20s, Shane, as you say. So he was down literally as a child prodigy. When I was doing my research about him, in all the schools games, all the underage games, in both codes, his name was well up there. Now, with the ACL injury and with his coaching career, he started coaching the Down Camogie team this year. He didn't return to the setup as fit as he wanted. So he's now in the process of getting much fitter. And you can see it even in the couple of days or weeks since I spoke to him last. Just every time you talk to him, he's getting fitter and fitter. So I wonder, could we see a return to the county colours for this man fairly soon? But right now, they have a chance of maybe going further on the road. They prepare to play Satanta, which is a hurling mad community itself in Donegal. And the winners have a place in the Ulster final. Shane, we showed the Ulster final of 2024 live on RTE2 last year, and it was an epic game. So just plenty to play for, but it just shows you he went and sought help, and he's reaping the rewards of that now.
Yeah, amazing stuff, Damien. And we wish Donal all the best, and indeed Navone all the best in Ulster. From Ulster to Munster, Tipperary GAA have been gifted a 14-acre site for a new training base. What's the situation here, Damien?
Yeah, it's coming there from courtesy of John Magner and Coolmore Stud. And, you know, there was a connection there in that the existing Dr. Morris Park was renamed Coolmore Morris Park when the sponsorship kicked in a couple of years ago. As you say now, though, there's a 14-acre site being gifted to Tipperary GAA by John Magner. It'll develop further the new facility, and quite appropriately and quite fittingly, the land is right adjacent to their current base, Shane. So the new development will be world class. It's probably a watershed moment for Gaelic Games and Tip, because it gives the chance to maybe get the next generation to come in. And if you were reading their recent interviews, just the players wanted to come in. And I suppose at this day and age, society, young players want to sit down, have a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, feel that they're in a high-class environment. And while Dr. Morris Park served many, many teams for many, many years, Shane, I think they'll add to it now and they'll improve it a lot more. So they're very, very lucky, I suppose, that John Magner came on board. But I suppose it's a bit of strategic work from the county board as well in the last few years, trying to strengthen that connection and trying to see could they drive it on further. It's probably very, very welcome in that Semple Stadium is in need of a lot of money and a lot of work and a lot of redevelopment as well, Shane. So this is one area then that maybe a huge cost has been taken away off their desk, and that can only be a good thing at a time when finances are so tight for county boards all over the country.
Okay, elsewhere, big blows to both Mayo and Kerry because Cobbie MacDonald and Ben Murphy, they're off to the AFL.
They're off to the AFL, and you know, there's a storm about it again. And you know, Cobbie MacDonald, we've been hearing about him for a long time. Shane, I would have alluded in previous conversations that he was a hot target for the AFL clubs. He's off to St Kilda, but there was a number of clubs interested in him. You know, a son of Kieran MacDonald, he helped Mayo get to the 2023 minor semi-final. He helped his club cross Malina to the Mayo semi-finals this year. He took the senior football like a duck to water. He's going over after his leaving cert in July, which is probably a break from departure, Shane, in that players, normally Irish players, go over in November. And 18-year-old then Ben Murphy, the Osta Sax clubman from Kerry, he won a Munster title with the Kerry under-20s this year. He's gone over to the club, Brisbane Lions, on a Category B deal. Now, they've won back-to-back AFL championships, so it's a great, great opportunity for them.
And I suppose just look at there, if you go under a category B project or a contract, you know, it's probably €31,000 maybe first year out, but that will rise very, very quickly to maybe €58,000 next year and beyond. And you know, if you manage to get past 3 years there, you can fairly add to your money quite substantially. So it's a great opportunity for both players, but it has led to another debate. But I've been writing and reporting about this for 10-15 years now. It's never really the amount of GAA players that are out in Australia. There's maybe only maximum of 12-13 out there at the moment, but it's pretty much left a dent in the ladies game here. And I have to say too that, you know, Pierce Hanley, Oisin Mullen have gone, they've been lost to Mayo. What would have happened if those two guys were still around? Kerry have seen Mark O'Connor, Killian Burke and Rob Monaghan depart for deals as well. James Madden, the list goes on. But again, it's not the sheer quantity of numbers that go over. I mean, this is an amateur game here on this side of the shore. It's a Gaelic Athletic Association, a voluntary amateur association. However, it's the quality of players that we're losing here. They are all top class. They're all marked out as maybe red letter players of the future. Mayo and Kerry are being hit a fair bit more than others. But like, even in my own county, Tipperary, like, we've lost the likes of Colin O'Riordan over the years and been lucky enough to have him home to play one-off games. But my point being, you simply cannot begrudge these young lads a chance to push off and make a professional lifestyle in a country like Australia. However, I do feel that it can't be just a case of an AFL club coming in, swooping for their target and taking that player away. It's a grey area because we're an amateur association, but should there be some sort of a staggered compensation for the club that the player has left, particularly if they're going at a very, very early age? Should there be some recognition of the training and coaching that has been put in by volunteers on a basis like that? It will have to be a goodwill gesture, Shane, because simply we're not a professional organisation here and there's no diktat or obligation. But certainly the process of how this happened needs to be looked at a bit more. And Kerry were bemoaning the fact that players were getting, potentially or allegedly getting phone calls during leave insert year as well, over the years. So look, all that would need to be looked at again. But again, it's not the quantity going over, in my opinion, it's the pure sheer quality of players that we're losing on these shores.
Yeah, we've had Nadine Doherty on the show many times highlighting the issue in the ladies' game, and now it is creeping into the men's game somewhat as well. Some good news for Mayo, to be fair, losing Kobe McDonald, but Killian O'Connor, James Carr and Rob Henley have all decided to return to the Mayo football panel for next season. From Australia to Asia, we are looking forward to the Asian Games this month. Over 1,000 GA players to take part.
Yeah, it's crazy, really. This is just growing and growing and growing. I was reading an article about this on the Guardian there as well. Local people over there, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Bangkok, Thailand, they feel that the GAA actually is something that they can join fairly easily. They feel it's very inclusive. They like the history of the sport when they learn more about it. And it's proven very popular, obviously, with the amount of Irish people moving over there, Shane, but also with the locals as well. And the great thing about it is there's now 500 plus GAA clubs worldwide, but they're pushing the boundaries as well. Like in Kuala Lumpur, Orang Air, a GAA club, they pushed and pushed and pushed for and a series of exhibition games for men, women and children and kids academies to be played in Malaysia's national stadium, which is an 85,000 capacity. It's an iconic stadium over there. It's a real source of national pride in Malaysia. But they got to showcase the opportunity then of Gaelic games being played on a blitz and tournament for a day, right down from senior men's to kids' nursery. And again, they would have done that through the Irish Embassy and through the Ministry of Sport over there. Now everybody is getting ready for a 2 weeks' time. The Asian Games are taking place, between 800 and 1,000 players taking part. You know, massive amount of clubs, Shane, and it's just basically spreading the gospel of the GAA more and more. And I've just been chatting to you about our best players maybe being pickpocketed or targeted for AFL. Well, we've no bother with the amount of people we are, I suppose, populating all around the world. We've no bother setting up our own associations and driving on what's possible there as well. So just, I felt that really it was worth a mention in our broadcast here, because in Kuala Lumpur, there's 25 different nationalities playing GAA alone. And it's incredible, really.
a good friend of mine, actually, Keane Hullum, is part of Orang Era, and I was even speaking to him. It's a two-day tournament in Bangkok, Thailand, to look forward to. 25 ladies team across senior, intermediate, junior, 31 men's teams across the same. The first Asian Games in Manila in 1996. So the games, 14-minute games, nine aside for player safety in the hot tropical heat, with Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, the biggest number of teams this year. 20 different nationalities, over 20 different nationalities playing.
Keane is one of the driving forces there, but the main point here is they went from having 20 kids at their first session to around 150 at one of their open sessions afterwards. So it's an unbelievable, and they have a refugee Gaelic Academy program as well. So they really are pushing the boundaries out there far, far from these shores.
Yeah, no, certainly. Even you mentioned the locals, Cambodia, having a 90% Cambodian team players in their team. So amazing stuff. Listen, Damien, before we wrap up, closer to home, Munster football, the weaker counties, they still have no joy with the seeding format for next year.
Well, they have this, so basically I contacted the Munster Council before the broadcast, and no decision has been made yet is the official word, but word seems to be coming back through informal sources that, you know, the players have had representation, you know, through the GPA as well, and they've had representation with the Munster Council, and this new format whereby the Munster Championship winners and the next best place league team will be seeded. That was due to come in next year, and basically what you're doing there is more often than not you're keeping Kerry and Cork apart, so that there's a chance of them meeting in the final. That was due to come in next year. By all accounts now, there's a fair potential that it won't come in next year. It's been delayed by a year, but there are still fears in the weaker counties that it might come in a year or two and maybe be allowed to stay for a few seasons as well. So you know, there appears to be an impasse for now with next year's championship, Shane, but I'm not sure how easy that truce will be if it materialises.
Okay, great stuff. Damien Lawler, it's been a pleasure as always for our last Wednesday together. Thank you so much for taking the call. Have a great evening, and I'm sure we'll be speaking again soon.
Game on. Rugby.
Now, Ellen Keane is still with us, and Ellen, I alluded at the top of the show to an interview you conducted with Anna McGann, who is just an absolute superstar, not just in rugby though.
Yeah, she has had a great year with the Women's Rugby World Cup, but she used her time wisely in the hotel rooms. All that downtime that athletes seem to have while they're waiting to compete, making some TikToks with her roommate, Eve Higgins. And do you know what? She is just a phenomenal girl. She's just such a hard worker, and I had a great chat with her.
Let's hear from Anna McGann now, speaking to Ellen Keane.
I am delighted to be chatting with a member of Team Ireland's Rugby World Cup squad and TikTok sensation, Anna McGann. Anna, how are things?
Good, thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited to chat with you because obviously I had a chat with your lovely partner, Grainne Walsh, earlier on, and I just learned so much from her and the little dynamic that you two had. So I was like, I have to get Anna on and I have to chat to Anna.
So fair. We'll see what she said and see if it's true.
I know, we'll compare. The Women's Rugby World Cup, Ireland getting to the quarterfinals but getting beaten by France. A roller coaster of emotions, I'm sure, for you, because that is sport. But was it everything that you thought it would be?
Yeah, the Rugby World Cup was like just incredible. And I know like the quarterfinal didn't go our way and we obviously bowed out earlier than we wanted to. But I think the whole tournament as a whole was just, it was huge for women's rugby. And I think we really saw how many people came out in support of us and in support of like all the teams. It was just unbelievable. Like we were playing in sold out stadiums where we've never sold out a stadium. Like it was crazy. Like it was such an experience. But yeah, obviously like the results didn't go our way and what we wanted to get out of it, we didn't really. But I think it was still a massive step forward in the growth of the game, especially for us and in Ireland.
Could you feel the support from home?
Oh my God, yeah. It was basically like having a home World Cup. Like it was incredible. I still remember when we walked out into the stadium against New Zealand, it was a sold out crowd of 30,000. And I actually would put my money on the fact that there was about 28,000 of Irish. It was just green. Like there was a sea of green everywhere.
Oh my God, that is so special. Did it did it kind of carry you throughout the match, even though things kind of weren't going to plan? Did it kind of lift the mood?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, even throughout the whole tournament, every game we went to, there was just Irish everywhere. Like, it was so incredible to see. And even the few days beforehand when you'd be going down to get a coffee, like, people would be out in their Irish shirts for about 3 days straight. Like, it was, oh, it was incredible. And I guess when it's so close to home, like, everybody's families and friends could be there. But I think on top of that, we're nearly past the stage now where it's not just families and friends, like it's fans. There's just, we had just had so much support from Ireland in general. It was just unbelievable.
And did you have any moments where you got recognised going for your coffee?
We did actually have a few, which never happens to us. Yeah, I think there, between that whole fleece situation and everything, you couldn't, the girls actually had to stop wearing the fleeces out because that's how people were spotting us and recognising us.
Oh,
so we all actually had to put the fleece away for a couple of days. It was so funny.
How did that whole thing begin? Because obviously, like, the fleeces are lovely, but you kind of made them blow up.
It's actually so mad when you think about it. It's, do you know what? It's typical Irish. We love a fleece. Like, we just love, we love a comfy fleece. But we were in, I think it was like week one. It was early on in the World Cup. And me and Eve were roommates for the whole thing. So we had jumped on the TikTok bandwagon and we got like a load of really nice kit for the World Cup. And we were like, oh, we'll just do a TikTok and show some of the kit. Like, and we actually didn't even think about the fleece that much. And I didn't realize that it wasn't like on sale to the public. It was a fleece that Canterbury had just kind of designed last minute for us. So we'd have something comfy to wear around the hotel. Like, so we did a TikTok that was in it. It actually went viral and people went mad for it. And I was like, what is going on? And we were sitting looking at the video, just jumping in views. And we were like, this is crazy. And people were just demanding that Canterbury release it. Because obviously when they found out that they couldn't buy it, they were like, no, we need it. So then Canterbury were under serious pressure. And to be fair to them, they came through a couple of weeks later and they put it on sale. And then it sold out in an hour in typical Irish fashion.
Do you know what? I actually know a few people who've bought the fleece.
That's so funny. No, literally, like, everyone. I see it, like, just walking down the street and I'm like, that is so funny.
Do you not feel like a little bit of pride? You're like, that's because of me and Eve.
Yeah, there's an element of that. You go, yeah, I did that.
Well, I know like the modern day salesperson is an influencer, but if things don't work out with rugby, at least you know you're a good salesperson.
Yeah, absolutely. Hop me in sales for Canterbury. I'll be sorted.
How do you kind of manage that then in terms of you're at a major championships? Like, there is a lot of downtime, like, because obviously you're only playing once a week and you're training on top of that. But a lot of that training is just recovery and making sure that you're minding your body. So you have a lot of downtime. And then you and Eve just being roommates, being silly with each other, like, that's how you're passing time, but then it blows up and it becomes something so big. How do you manage the pressure of keeping on top of your social media and like giving the people what they want while still being in the zone for the championships?
Yeah, it's like, it's a good question because a lot of people actually asked that after the World Cup. They were like, did that take away from it at all? Like, how did you deal with it? But I think for me and Eve, like, we're so laid back and we're so, like, what you see on TikTok is just what we're kind of like in general. So there was never really a feeling of, oh, we have to do this because of X, Y, and Z. It was just, we were doing them for the crack and we were putting them up. And whether they got views or likes or whatever, it didn't really matter because we were just, like, that's how we were having a bit of crack in the hotel. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, it kind of just came across as people could see, like, probably the real side of us in the hotel. But it never really got to a stage where we felt like, oh, like, we need to keep doing this. Do you know that kind of way? It was just more like, it's a bit of crack. It's keeping us entertained in the hotel. We're just going to keep going with it.
What about your coaching staff? How did they react to it?
They thought it was hilarious. Oh my God. They just thought it was so funny. We were going, like, you couldn't walk in anywhere without somebody referencing the fleece. Like, it was just, it was gas. And they were fully on board for it. Because to be fair, like, as chilled and as funny as it was, people actually were turning up to the games because of the TikToks and because they were seeing, like, that side of our personalities and stuff. And like, I thought it was mad after one of the games. A couple of girls came up to me and they were like, oh, we came because we saw your niece TikToks and we wanted to meet you and stuff. And like, if a few like silly TikToks is going to grow the game and the reason why we have more support and more fans at games, then like, we're going to do it. So yeah, it was just kind of, it was a bit of a mad one where we didn't deep it that much, but it actually ended up like doing really well and people ended up coming to support us because of it.
Well, you definitely seem like the sort of woman who is able to take any situation and turn it into something great. The Rugby World Cup was so long. Like, you're away from home for so long. You were spending so much time with your team, seeing them every day. You were living with Eve, seeing Eve every day. How has kind of the come down been? Because obviously once you come home, you're not seeing those people every day.
Yeah, it's such a strange one, because even trying to explain it to people outside it, you're like, you're literally surrounded by the same 30 girls for 6 weeks on end. And that's not even including the training we did beforehand. Like, we went into camp in July for the World Cup. Sorry, in June, the start of June, which, it's just like, that's 5 months of just being around the same people all the time. And you don't, I guess you don't realize how accustomed you come having people around you all the time. So when we got home from the World Cup, Grani and I actually headed away straight on holidays for a week, which was so nice. And then, so I kind of knew I was prolonging the come down from the World Cup. And then we came home from holidays and she went back into training. And I was like, so what do I do now? And I think I had a day at home where I was like, oh my God, I actually needed to go to the coffee shop just to talk to somebody, because I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm definitely not an individual athlete. I don't know how they do it. Then I suppose it was Ireland Fashion Week. And then I actually have just been so busy with so many different events since that the come down probably is still prolonged. Well, yeah, no, it is. It's difficult to come home, and the build-up, I guess, for the World Cup was like years in the making. So for something that there's such a long build-up and then it happens and then all of a sudden it's over and you're like, so like, what next? And we were so lucky that we've had like a really long time off. We had 6 weeks, which is probably the longest I've ever had away from rugby. So I'm like, I'm very ready to get back at it and get back into training and just kind of be around the girls again.
Oh, that's so nice. It's so nice to know that the feeling to come back is still there, because obviously you have so many other opportunities now at the moment. But the fact that you have that itch to get back means you're not done yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's probably the same way for most of the girls. And it's probably due to losing out on the quarterfinal and just feeling like we probably left a little bit out there. I feel like the itch is very much still there to get back at it and get prep for the Six Nations next year to really kind of show that we are in the top four in the world. So yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Oh, well, Anna McGann, cannot wait to follow you along on your sporting journey, but also on your TikToks. Thank you so much for the chat.
Thank you so much.
A brilliant chat there, Anna McGann with Ellen Keane. And that is only a snippet. You can hear the full interview will be podcasted on the Game On podcast streams. Alan Collier, you're still with us to briefly chat Champions League. Two matches ongoing. Carabag 2-1 up at home to Chelsea. Paphos 1-0 up at home to Villarreal. Manchester City play Borussia Dortmund. Newcastle United play Bilbao a little bit later. But Liverpool, the rut is over.
Is it? Two games, are we saying it's over? Have to turn that corner, Shane?
They were impressive last night. Conor Bradley was very impressive.
They were very good, yeah, in fairness to them. And a bit back to their old selves. And it was the same on Saturday when they beat Villa. But to put two, I suppose, back-to-back, that's important. And as you say, Conor Bradley, and I was glad for Conor Bradley, because I always felt, Shane, every time he stepped into the breach last year when he was replacing Trent Alexander-Arnold, he always performed really, really well. And I always felt, once Trent was going to leave, which we all knew he would, that Bradley would be the ideal replacement. But when the manager went out and signed Frimpong, it was almost kind of like another knockback for Bradley, which I felt was one that it would have definitely dented his confidence. And I think we've seen that in the early part of the season, almost feeling like he had to prove himself again. But he absolutely proved himself again with the performance last night. So I hope he can nail down that right full position, because I'm a big fan of his. I think he's an excellent player. All heart, desire, with a bit of quality. So it was a good night for him.
Great stuff. On that positive note, Alan Colley, you're back with us on Friday to preview the Sportsdirect Men's FAI Cup final. I cannot wait for that. Just before we go, the winner of €400 cash, all thanks to PwC. I asked who the young player of the year, young footballer of the year was in 2024. The answer was, of course, Oisin Conaty of Armagh. And our winner is Pat Madden from Tulla, County Clare. So congratulations, Pat. That is all we have time for. Andrew O'Connor was today's producer. Jarla Holland was our broadcast coordinator. Up next, Beto da Silva with the new music show from myself, Shane Dawson, and all of the Game On team. Have a great evening. Game On's back tomorrow at 6.
This is 2FM.